each one of you this morning as we gather here to worship him in a collective way. I appreciated the testimonies this morning. You know, we oftentimes think of, highlights in our lives, things that make an impression on us. And these young people have expressed that. And I think it was Nikki that said something about, the challenge now is to live it out. And I think that's true for every one of us. There's instances in our lives that challenge us. There's things that happen in our lives that speak to us in a very real and clear way. And we make, maybe sometimes we make a commitment to God. And we realize that things could have been different, could have been injured or even killed, maybe died because of a severe illness or something, and God spared us. And we make a commitment to God. But the challenge then is to live that out. As time goes on, for some reason, that they kind of fade. But we need to renew that. We need to be challenged again and again. And I think this morning, a time of these testimonies was challenging to every one of us. To remember the time that we became a Christian. To remember the time that we were looking forward to baptism. To remember the time that we experienced a time of maybe revival in our heart, that we need to continue to live out the commitment. Well, that's not my message this morning. When Steve suggested that we have testimony time, I was kind of nodding my head inside, saying, "Yeah, let's do that." But for a message this morning, I want to look at something maybe a little bit untraditional in the Christian circles. What was Friday? Anybody know what Friday was?
First day of Passover.
Okay. Anything else?
Valentine's Day.
Right, February 14th, Valentine's Day. I don't know how many of you men did something special for your wife, but as with everything, you can do something special. You can give a nicely worded card. You can send a bouquet of flowers. You can get a box of chocolates or whatever it may be. But the rest of your life needs to live that out. Well, the message title this morning is a Valentine's Day message. And I did a little bit of research on Valentine's Day, and I'm not going to spend a lot of time on that. But the most common, there's many different thoughts and ideas as to where it came from, but the most common one is a Roman priest who performed secret marriages during Emperor Claudius II, his reign. The emperor had decided that single men make better soldiers than married men, so he forbade marriage. And this priest by the name of Valentine knew that was wrong. And he went against the emperor's demands and commands and law, and he secretly performed marriage ceremonies. And he was found out, and the order was given that he be put to death, and he was put to death on February 14th. Be that as it may, there's also many pagan things revolving, many immoral things revolving around Valentine's Day. But as I thought about that, I thought, well, why do we, when we talk about these things, and my mind went to the many mentions in the Bible, and there's approximately 800 mentions of or uses of the word heart in the Bible. And I had to wonder, why do we even today refer to the heart issues, or the heart of man, as, you know, when we're referring to the feelings and the thoughts and the aspirations of men, the emotions. And I did a little bit of research on that too, and quoting from some online sites. In many cultures throughout history, the heart was considered the center of not just physical life, but also emotions, passions, and even wisdom, lending to a metaphorical association between the heart and the core of one's being, encompassing both thoughts and feelings. And the writer there went on to say that in ancient cultures, they did not have the scientific understanding of the mind, and they equated the heart with emotions because of the feelings you would get in your chest when you were faced with different emotions. And that kind of followed through many years, and we still refer to the heart of man as the, oftentimes when we're talking about the mind and the thoughts, refer to the heart. And that's what I want to look at this morning for a little bit, is the heart of man. And our heart, the position of our heart, not the literal position in our chest, but where we are with our feelings, with our thoughts, with our commitments, and with our dedication. Turning your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 2. I'm going to read a few verses here just to get the context of what the proverb writer is talking about here. Proverbs chapter 2, and begin reading at verse 1. My son, if thou wilt receive my words and hide my commandments with thee, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom and apply thine heart to understanding, yea, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding, if thou seekest her as silver and searchest for her as for hidden treasure, then shalt thou understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God. The proverb writer here is addressing a younger man. He calls him son. Now, it can be his literal son, possibly was. It can also just be a younger man that he was addressing here. And he was challenging this young man to receive words of wisdom. He says in verse 2, so that thou incline thine ear unto wisdom. In other words, allow the wisdom around you to penetrate you, to sink in. You know, sometimes, I almost said we as younger people, I don't really classify myself as a young person anymore, but I remember when I was young, and I would hear some older people talk about some things, and I would smile within myself, and I would, that was for their generation. You know, we're different. We got some ideas, we got some thoughts, we got some reasons, we got some progressive thinking that is different than what they were. You know, they're the old generation. The Bible tells us about respect for the hoary head, respect for the older people, respect for their experience, respect for their wisdom, respect for their experiences that they've had and the knowledge that they have. And the proverb writer here is saying, incline thine ear unto wisdom. In other words, pay attention. In the land that we live in here, respect for older people has been lost. It has been, like I did when I was young. Well, they're just old people. Dad, it was okay for your day, but it's not okay for mine. Things have changed. Things are different. Brothers and sisters, young people here this morning, Apply. Apply yourself. Incline your ear to that wisdom that is available for you. You won't regret it. I have many regrets, but I do not regret the times I did listen to some wisdom. I have many regrets for times I did not listen and suffered the consequences. But then he says, apply thine heart to understanding. And the heart here is talking about the feelings and the will and even the intellect. Apply yourself. Apply your being. Apply your mind to that wisdom and that understanding. You know, it's often been said, and we're going to look at some verses that bring this out a little bit more, but it's often been said that, you know, what you feed grows. And I'd like to remind us all, I'm not just looking at the young people here this morning, but I'd like to remind us all that if we want our lives, our spiritual lives, to grow, we talked about it this morning when we met with Conrad. We talked about, you know, feeding. I asked him, I said, Conrad, do you like to sit up to the table and eat food, right? And he said, yeah, he nodded his head. He said, yes, he likes that. And we all know what happens when we don't do that. If we're sick and we don't sit up and eat food, we tend to become weak. We lose our strength. And, you know, there's some very serious consequences if that continues. But brothers and sisters, the same thing holds true in our spiritual lives. Every one of us needs to take time to sit up to the table and eat and to grasp for that food that's there for us. We can't expect to learn to understand and to know wisdom if we don't apply ourselves to the Word of God. Proverb writer here again is saying in verse 3, if thou criest after knowledge and liftest up thy voice for understanding. In other words, if you call out for it, maybe not literally, but you know, your desire of your heart and mind is to reach out for it, to ask for it, to love it and to want it to come your way. It's going to make a difference in your life. You're going to grow. Your life is going to be strong. Your spiritual life is going to be strong. And we need to, in our lives, our hearts need to be filled with that wisdom, because it's the only way that we're going to face the struggles and the dangers of the world around us. Satan is ever busy to get us off the track. He wants to derail the train. He wants to cause havoc. Brothers and sisters, if you apply your heart to understanding, it's going to give you strength. It's going to give you fortitude for those things that need to be faced and need to be overcome. Turn to Jeremiah. Jeremiah chapter 17. Very familiar passage of scripture here. Jeremiah 17, verse 9 and 10. The heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Who can know it? I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, even to give every man according to his ways and according to the fruit of his doings. Here, God is warning us that the heart, our thoughts, our feelings, our intellect can be very deceitful. And not only to other people. You know, we can put on a good front and we can put out a... Should be careful how I say this because we had a lot of testimonies this morning and I'm not accusing anybody of putting up a false front. But, you know, we can have a good testimony. And we can appear to other people to be a fairly good individual. And we can even, our heart can even deceive us into thinking and feeling like we're right, like we're a good person. But God says in verse 10, I, the Lord, search the heart. What does God see when he looks into my heart and into your heart? Are we looking into our hearts with clear and open eyes? Or are we looking into our hearts with blinded eyes, not willing to see what is there? And the attitudes that are there, and the feelings that are there, the thoughts that are there. What are you dwelling on? God says, I look in there. I search. I, the Lord, search the heart. I try the reins, and that word reins there can mean, it can literally mean the kidneys, but it figuratively means the mind and the thoughts, very similar to what the heart, what the concept, what the idea of the heart is. God looks there, and he knows what is there. And he says that according to what I see there, that's the reward that I'm going to give that individual. To brothers and sisters, it doesn't matter. Well, yeah, it does matter in some ways, but it's not, it doesn't matter what we say is in our heart or what we think is in our heart. It's what God sees there. And God sees what is literally there. We can't hide anything from God. We might be able to hide it from our friends and family. We might be able to hide it from our church family. We might be able to hide it from the preachers. But we can't hide it from God. And as each of you this morning just stop and think, what is God seeing when he looks in my heart? That's something you need to answer. Daniel chapter 1. Again, a very familiar verse. Daniel chapter 1 and verse 8 says, but Daniel purposed in his heart that he would not defile himself with a portion of the king's meat or with the wine which he drank. Therefore he requested of the prince of the eunuchs that he might not defile himself. The thought I'd like to think about here is that Daniel purposed in his heart. You know, we can go through life and just allow things to happen. We can go through life with a happy-go-lucky way of approaching life. And well, you know, just let things flow, go with the flow, let things happen. And, we'll have fun today. We'll take care of the consequences tomorrow. That's not the attitude. That's not the heart that Daniel had. Daniel was convinced that the king's meat would not be real healthy for him. And I'm not sure what all that meat involved. It involved, alcoholic beverages and I don't know what all food, probably very rich food. And Daniel knew that that type of food was not the best for him. And he purposed in his heart. He made a decision. He decided. And he was firm on that decision. He had a purpose. And his purpose was to not be defiled with the king's meat, but to allow him to have the food that is best for his body. Now let's turn that over and look at it from the spiritual side. Have you purposed in your heart that you're not going to defile yourself with the things of this world, but you're going to partake of and eat the things that are best for your spiritual life? Young people and older ones as well, you will not be able to fill your minds with pornographic stories and pictures and expect to live a morally clean life, because you've defiled yourself. You cannot expect to harbor attitudes of bitterness and hatred and live a peaceful and productive spiritual life. Daniel purposed in his heart. He made a decision. He made a conscious decision. This wasn't just something that happened automatically. Daniel made the decision and he acted on it. And you and I today need to consciously make a decision to fill our minds, fill our lives, fill our hearts with good things. You've all heard the analogy of the glass. It can look ever so good on the outside, but if it's filled with horrible things inside, if it gets bumped, that's what splashes out. This glass of water here is nice, clean water. If I bump it and it spills, it's clean water. What you fill your heart with, what you purpose to do or you don't purpose to do, is going to make a difference of what your life is full of and what's going to come out when you speak and when you act. And you cannot expect to fill your life with immorality and with pride and with other attitudes and then have a morally pure and godly life. You need to purpose in your heart to not defile yourself with the king's meat. Another very familiar verse, Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter 5 and verse 8 says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." Connection to the point I just had of purposing not to defile yourself. Blessed are the pure in heart. Is your mind pure? Is your heart pure? Have you filled it with the Word of God? Have you filled it with the knowledge of God? Have you filled it with thanksgiving and praise? Have you filled it with love? Brothers and sisters, this morning, I've known individuals who have looked at life from a negative standpoint. And, oh no, it's time to get up already this morning. I just wish I could stay in bed a little longer. Oh no, I don't have time for breakfast because I stayed in bed too long. And oh, I'm just so worn out from yesterday, and things just aren't going right. Everything is against me. I got a flat tire on the way to work this morning, and then I got here to work, and there was all sorts of problems that everybody expected me to take care of, and so on and so forth, and that's how they live their life. That's because that's what they fill their life with negative thoughts, with the poor me attitude. And I find myself in that spot way too often. It's very hard for me to wake up in the morning and say, "Praise the Lord, I have another day to live for God." It's hard for me to go to work and realize that there's all sorts of problems awaiting me that need answers, and people are wanting answers now. Am I thankful that God has given me another day to live for Him and to be a testimony and be a light for Him? Am I thankful that I have friends around me? Am I thankful that I have a family? Am I thankful that I have food and clothing and shelter and water? And the list could go on. What are we filling our lives with? Are our hearts pure? Brothers and sisters, this verse says, "Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God." And I would like to just turn that around a little bit and say, if your heart is not pure, you're not going to be dwelling in the presence of God here and now or in eternity. It's only the pure in heart. Is my heart pure? These are just very few verses that talk about the heart. Like I said, there's approximately 800 references in the Bible to the heart. And only a few of them that I could find are in reference to the actual flesh and blood heart. One of those is in Daniel, where it talks about the king being given the heart of the beast, King Nebuchadnezzar, because he took the glory to himself, and God said, "You're going to be like a beast." And he says, "I'm going to take the heart of a man out of him, and I'm going to put the heart of a beast in him, and he's going to live out in the wild, and he's going to eat grass." That's the only reference. I didn't comb over them real hard, but that was one of the references that spoke of the actual flesh and blood heart. The rest are speaking of our thoughts and attitudes and our feelings and our thinking. Solomon in the dedication of the temple, and take the time to read 1 Kings chapter 8 sometime, and read his prayer there, and read how he prays to God that the heart of the people would search and follow him continually. 1 Samuel 16 verse 7, the very common one: "Man looketh on the outward, but God seeth the heart." And I'm not here to expound on that, other than knowing that God searches our hearts and he knows what's there. Psalm 139, verse 23. "Search me, O God." God, you have searched. Psalm starts out asking God to search. It ends with saying that God has searched. Opening ourselves up to God. Matthew 11:29, where Jesus says, "Come unto me." And he says, "Take my yoke upon you." And I would have to turn to that to get that thought completely, but he says something about the heart there being meek and gentle and lowly. The heart of Jesus. You know, that's a good example for us. The heart of Jesus. He was the Son of God. But he came to this earth in humility. He came to this earth as a servant. He came to this earth in love. Is that our heart? this morning. We're not sons, we're not the Son of God. We are sons and daughters of God, yes, through the blood of Jesus Christ. But are we humbling ourselves? Are we willing to be servants? Do we have a servant's heart? There's many other references here I could turn to, but I'll close with that. The question remains, what is in our hearts? Because what is in our hearts decides not only the type of life we live now, but where we will spend eternity. Let's pray.